Ryan Potarak is CEO and investment advisor with Potarak Capital Advisory Incorporated. This presentation contains the opinions of Ryan Potarak and do not necessarily reflect the views of Potarak Capital Advisory. These opinions contained herein are current as of the date of recording and are subject to change without notice. Information provided is not intended to be and should not be interpreted as a recommendation of any particular security, strategy, or investment product. This presentation is not an offer to buy or sell any security or other financial instrument or to participate in any investment strategy and should not be construed as tax or legal advice. This presentation may not be reproduced in whole or in part without the consent of Ryan Potarak, an investment advisor representative with Capital Asset Advisory Services, LLC, a registered investment advisor. Past performance is not indicative of future results, and there can be no guarantee that any investment strategy discussed in this presentation will achieve its investment objectives. As with any investment strategy, there is a risk of loss of all or a portion of the amount invested. With respect to goals, targets, objectives, expectations, and processes discussed in this presentation, there is no guarantee that such goals, targets, objectives, or expectations will be achieved or that the processes will succeed. Any risk management processes discussed refer to the efforts to monitor and manage risk, but should not be confused with and does not imply no or low risk. The use of diversification within an investment portfolio does not assure a profit or guarantee against loss in a declining market. This presentation may contain information collected from independent third-party sources. For purposes of providing these materials to you, neither Ryan Potarak nor any affiliates, subsidiaries, directors, officers, or employees has independently verified the accuracy or completeness of the third-party information contained herein.
This is Your Life, Your Money, presented by Potarak Capital Advisory. Each week, we'll take a look at financial concepts and strategies, educate you on how things work. Plus, we'll explore case studies and field consumer questions. Now, let's join Ryan Potarak, founder and CEO of Potarak Capital Advisory.
Good Sunday morning and welcome to Your Life, Your Money, presented by Potarak Capital Advisory. I am your host, Will, and as always, I am joined by Mr. Ryan Potarak, founder and CEO of Potarak Capital Advisory. Good morning, Ryan. How are you, sir?
Good Sunday morning, Will. I'm fantastic.
Yeah, you doing
good? Yeah.
It's good to see you again, as always.
This is going to be an easy show.
I think this is going to be one of our easier shows. We're really excited. We've got a guest in with us today. And before we get to her, just real quick, how's your week been? How's everything going?
It's been good. A little chilly.
Yeah.
You know, one of the reasons I moved from Iowa to the Charlotte area is, you know, but it's a little chilly for March.
I feel like we went through four seasons in about six weeks. It was hot. It was as hot as a summer. Yep. It was nice like a fall, and it got cold as a winter.
Yep.
So, I mean, it's just the weather is absolutely all over the place.
Yeah, I had sometimes my weekends I can be traveling and be pretty busy, but this has been a nice weekend at home with the family, doing family stuff, so
good.
I love it.
Yeah, that's awesome. I'm glad to hear that. As you know, this week I got an opportunity to finally get to one of your workshops, which I've been trying to do, and I was really eager to do it this past week because you had Faye Sykes there.
Yeah,
and I'm going to give you an opportunity to introduce her in a minute. But I did want to tell people, if you have ever thought about going to one of these events, one of these workshops, you really should. It is a really cool environment. It's a cool scene. The energy is amazing. And I got to go to the ladies' luncheon, and I'll be honest, I expected something completely different from what I got. What'd you expect? Well, I just didn't expect. I didn't realize how interested women are in these things, and how much they want to be a part of what goes on in the home, especially from the financial side. I think I grew up in a world where women, I just didn't think of women that way. I guess, and that's an awful way for me to grow up. And I don't think as many men do now, but I just didn't realize how amazing.
Interesting, yeah.
I mean,
and I've seen that. Well, first of all, because it's a ladies' luncheon, it's typically 25 to 30 ladies and me, and so I'm the only guy there, and I just love the energy that women bring, and you put a group of women together, then it's even more energy. But the perception that you have and you just shared, I coach other advisors around the country. When I have them attend that, they have that same perception. But I find that women are much more, they ask more questions, more sophisticated questions, as long as they're fielded in a way that isn't intimidating. And that's what I do these ladies' luncheons I've been doing for over 7 years, is to provide information. We don't talk product. We don't even try to schedule appointments. And we're disciplined to that one-hour time frame. And so I just love doing the ladies' luncheons every month.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I think our next one is like April 11th, also at the Palm in South Park. But
and we'll definitely keep you up to date on when the next one is. And if you've ever thought about going to one, you really should. I can honestly tell you it was a really cool, cool experience for me. And as I said, you did have a speaker there.
Yeah,
I was so eager to get there. Why don't you tell us
the handoff?
And she's going to be joining us today. Tell us a little bit about who we've got with us today, Ryan.
Well, Faye Sykes is a great friend and an advisor. I've known Faye for probably 5 or 6 years, and she, in addition to being a financial advisor, as I am, again, in the Atlanta area, she's built a separate practice, an expertise, really, on Social Security planning. Mm. And she's on radio, television. She helps people all over the country with Social Security planning in a very unique way. And so I thought it'd be great to have her come along and really take over this radio show.
Okay.
So with that, I'm going to step aside and let you and Faye kind of go at it.
All right.
Well, thank you guys for having me here. I really appreciate it.
Well, thanks for joining us, which is really cool. Let me just start at the most obvious place. I never really thought about, I've always assumed Social Security is just, it is what it is. You know, when you retire, that's the benefits you're getting. As much as you paid in is what you get out. But after seeing the workshop and hearing some of the things you said, there's a lot you can do with Social Security.
It is amazing what you can do. Yeah. You know, I started digging into this about 4 or 5 years ago. And, you know, of course, read a lot of books, got my NSSA designation, which is National Social Security Advisor, and literally have put this whole business together. And we're helping people not only throughout the U.S., but internationally as well with expatriates.
Yeah. So that was something that you talked a little bit about as well. And I had never, that's something that never even crossed my mind. What if an American does work in Germany or an American does work in, you know, another part of the world, but is still technically, you know, a citizen of this country? You talked a little bit about how their benefits are going to be a little different in some countries. It doesn't change at all.
Absolutely. So there's a couple different layers to this cake. One is that the U.S. has some bilateral agreements with certain countries where, let's just say you're Canadian and you work in Canada for 10 years and then you get a job, you know, in the U.S. There's about 26 countries where you can transfer your credits from the prior Social Security system, wherever that's at, to the U.S. or vice versa. Mm-hmm. So there's an updated list. The second part of that is beyond being able to transfer your credits is that, you know, in most countries you get double taxation. So you get taxed in the country that you're in and then you have to pay U.S. taxes. And there is about 25 countries out there that we have a agreement where you don't have to pay the double taxation.
Okay. Okay. Well, I was an interest. I was a different place to start. What I guess I actually should have started with is something. The first thing you started with that I found very interesting is you talked about how Social Security covers 40% to 60%.
Correct.
Of your retirement life.
The average person out there in the United States, it is 40% to 60%. For some, of course, it's lower. Some are higher. You know, unfortunately, for some people. I'll tell you a little story. I had a woman who came in, mm-hmm. and her husband had elected to take Social Security early, which locked it in at a lower amount, and he took his pension just on his own life, and then he died 8 months later.
Oh.
So, you know, initially they were at about $6,700 a month. After his death, she went down to $1,200 a month, and I couldn't do anything. So that's, you know, I'd kind of learned a little bit about it, but after sitting down with her, frankly, it pissed me off, that I couldn't do anything. And, you know, basically with Social Security, you have to do the pre-planning ahead of time. Now, there is a little window of opportunity where you can start taking Social Security and you have up to 12 months to stop it, pay it back, and then delay it to a future time. But, you know, in that case, what I've found is that this really affects women. And in Atlanta, I do focus on the women's market as a big chunk of my, you know, practice, and really getting down to the nitty gritty of if the guys aren't educated and understanding how this is going to affect the spouses, you know, in either way, it's detrimental to somebody's retirement.
Mm. Well, tell me a little bit then about how is someone's benefit actually calculated? I mean, if that can change based on when you take, I mean, because, you know, when you're at the workshop, you talked about how taking it just one year later can have an enormous effect on the number.
It is immense. So basically, the earliest, about 50% of Americans take it at age 62. And what I hear is like, it's not going to be around. I just might as well take it.
You know, Ryan, you heard that somewhere before.
I have. More than once.
These things. But basically, it's not true. So between 62, and it can range from 23 to 30%. So if you're born 1960 or later, it's a 30% permanent reduction in your benefits. So I don't know about you, but I really wouldn't take a job that's 25 or 30%. Well, what, you know, all these people taking it early are saying, hey, raising their hand, I'm going to take a 25, 30% permanent cut in my benefits for me and my spouse. Don't recommend it. Now, it maxes out at age 70. So it gets, you get an increase every year, which is basically an 8%. And, you know, people have a sliding full retirement age. So kind of the way that the benefit works is you have an, you know, between 62 and age 70, every year you delay, you get a little increase. Mm. The number two component of this is your primary insurance amount, or your PIA. And basically that's, you know, your FICA. So when you look on your W-2 at the end of the year, your pay stub, and if you're self-employed, and I'm going to be very counterintuitive to most business owners, you know, thought of mind about it is I actually encourage people to pay themselves more money so that they pay more into FICA. But anyway, so you've got, what age did you take it and how much did you pay in?
Real quick, just on that, if you do pay in, you're going to get it on the back end, basically, is the thought process there.
You get it on the back end. And the thing that, which most people don't realize is that your benefit affects your entire family in some capacity. So if you are married, your benefit can potentially affect your spouse. If you are retired, disabled, or of course passed on, you know, there's a survivor benefit for your children. There's also a weird little thing with Social Security. And by the way, there's over 2,700 regulations that oversee Social Security. So there's all these, it works this way 98% of the time, except for when this happens. But, you could have a parent, and think about the sandwich generation out there. Imagine if your parent is dependent on you, and I've got, I don't know about you, Ryan.
I don't. Not yet.
Not, but I'm not for you personally, but I've got clients that are helping their parents out.
Well, certainly.
You know, and so
quite a few.
Let's just say that you're helping out your mom for $1,500 or $2,000 a month for her to survive and you die. There's actually a Social Security benefit that your elderly parent can apply on your benefit as a working person if they can show that they were dependent on you for care.
No kidding. That's interesting.
I did not know that.
No idea.
What, I mean, I am a Social Security nerd. I am self-proclaimed, but there's a lot of weird stuff.
And this is not if they got to retirement age. So if they're, if you're 55 and you're helping take care of your mom and dad or something like that, and then all of a sudden you're sort of their primary caregiver at that point, that you pass away,
completely.
They can collect on.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and that's another thing that you mentioned at the workshop too, is that this is not that Social Security, that money's there. This is not made up money. Like you're putting money into it, so you're going to get it out at some point.
Well, you know, the politicians throw a lot out that this is an entitlement, you know, program. Here's the folks.
It's not welfare.
It's not welfare. This is actually a government insurance program through FICA. Now, if you are self-employed, you got to pay the full, you know, 15%. But when you work for an employee, so if you're at Wells Fargo or Home Depot or whatever, you pay half and your employer pays half. You know, and so that's a chunk of money between the retirement and the health insurance, retirement, you know, the Medicare, that you pay in over the course of your life. Well, even if you don't use it, let's say you were married or divorced or widowed, or you have minor children or you have parents, all these other people can basically get a benefit off of you, off of what you've paid in, is the potential for that. So if you lock it in at this reduced amount, that not only affects your spouse, but it could affect your kids and all these other factors. So, yeah, that's why I'm getting out there and really trying to educate people that you can plan for this. And it's really not that difficult, but it can make a huge, like literally for some couples, hundreds of thousands of dollars of differentials.
You know, I thought one of the neatest examples was, you know, we have a real challenge with opiates and drugs and, you know, with some kids, and that also, when I say kids, you know, 20s, 30s, whatever, in which you have parents who all of a sudden cannot take care of her children. And you had an example with like the grandparents who adopted the children. You know what that was? Would you?
Yeah. Well, you know, actually I'm going to share a slightly different story just so you guys can hear two different stories. But one of the first people that I ever helped was a grandfather that was referred to me, and he had just remarried to a woman who was 61. His daughter committed suicide.
Oh.
The dad was a drug addict, so completely out of the picture. And the three grandkids are 5, 7, and 9. So he basically calls me and says, well, do I get divorced or do I put my grandkids in foster care? And literally, I just felt sick to my stomach. And I was like, okay, what's going on? You know, because the mom never really worked. Her benefit was under $300 a month. Mm. And, you know, they're based in Atlanta where I live. And so he's like, new wife, 61 or 62, whatever she was, she's like, I didn't sign up to raise a 5, 7, and 9-year-old.
Mm.
And $300 doesn't go very far for three kids that age. So he's literally was
one kid.
Yeah, he was literally like, so do I get divorced because she's mad? She doesn't want to do this. Or do I dump the kids in foster care? And so basically we went through the planning. We had him adopt the three children, you know, got him set up with an adoption attorney. They now fall under his Social Security, which to the tune of about $44,000 a year.
Whoa.
So it's going to be over $550,000 worth of benefits.
It's a lot more than $300 a month, Will.
Yeah. 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 I'm not exactly a mathematician, but I got that.
You get the math. Yeah. Is that, you know, I was like, do this, you know, and I think the cost was about $3,000 or something right around there. You know, his marriage stayed intact. My suggestion was do this and hire a full-time nanny for about $30,000-$35,000 a year. And the rest of it goes to Cheerios and Nikes and football gear or whatever they need. And he literally was like, you saved my family. Mm. And, you know, I will be honest, I'm telling a slightly different story, but I have story after story where people just don't have a clue that these are even options out there. And with Social Security, I think this is a really key thing to say. With my firm, we actually give advice, but the Social Security Administration, being a government entity, they are only allowed to answer questions. Mm. There's a huge distinction there.
Because the answers don't have to be correct.
First of all, they don't have to be correct, but they're not liable for giving you wrong information. And there's multiple times where I've had people that have called in and they said, oh, you don't qualify for whatever it is. And then I've insisted that, yes, you do. And guess what?
They do.
Magically, all of a sudden, they qualify.
Well, you speak Social Security nerd.
I am.
You know, your clients, if they do it on their own, they don't really know the language. And they just sometimes might take no for an answer right off the bat from somebody who doesn't know that the answer is actually yes.
Yeah, well, and that's, I literally had a couple where they talked to Social Security about three times, even sat down with them, and they were like, nope, you don't qualify. Nope, you don't qualify. And I'm like, yes, you do. And basically we, you know, pushed it up to a supervisor. And, you know, in their case, you know, it was spousal benefits of, you know, around 50,000. And that's, you know, at their age 70, it's going to give them, you know, tens of thousands of dollars more per year.
Well,
so it's,
I would ask you, I mean, are most people like me? Most people have to be like me, that they don't think of Social Security as something you, as a system or a program you can actually kind of work to your benefit.
I will say that almost nobody realizes that we can plan for it. And that's, you know, I'm really trying to change that.
You gave out a website. It was SSA.gov.
Yeah, SSA.gov is Social Security Administration.gov, where anybody can go on 24/7. They have, because of costs and cuts with the government, they are not mailing out statements anymore.
They stopped that maybe 3-4 years ago?
They stopped. I think it was 5-7 years ago, and then they started it up for about 8 months, and then they're like, nah. They're like, so they would just rather people go on. But I would encourage people, go to SSA.gov, pull your, you know, your statements, review them, get an idea. I can't tell you, probably 25% of the time, there are zeros in years where they've actually made income. You know, and the way Social Security does is they look at your top 35 years of earnings and then do an average of that. And so if there's years that the numbers are incorrect, that can take your average down. So then there's easy ways to fix that.
You know, Faye, when I've actually gone on that website and looked at it, for those listeners who remember what their benefit estimate looked like when they received it hard copy, it's exactly what it looks like on the website.
Mm. Exactly.
So it's pretty cool.
If people want to get in touch with you to find out more, obviously they can reach out to Ryan, and Ryan can get them connected. But since I have you here, if people want to, because you work with people around the country as well as around the globe, so if people want to find out more from you.
Well, our website is Social Security BP, short for benefitplanners.com. Mm-hmm. On there, we have a treasure trove of information. We have tons of testimonials of actual people that we've assisted, which from widowers, gay and lesbian couples, divorced folks, you know, just all sorts of new marriages, second marriages much later in life. But there's a lot of information. And the way that we're set up is that we do flat fee planning. So it's a one and done. You know exactly what you're paying. It's no surprises.
Something else you talked about as well that I found really interesting is you discussed the idea of a man and woman. They're married. Maybe he's making, you know, a lot of money. She doesn't work. She's not at home, or she's not at a job. She makes no money. You suggested that he should be paying her a certain amount of money annually, because it does make a difference in the long run. And you said that number was about $5,200, I believe. Can you explain to us a little bit about how that
absolutely
works?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, about 80% of my clients that I personally work with are business owners. So they're the 1099 people. And, you know, I get these guys that make $400 or $1 million a year, and the wife is helping, or the, you know, kind of the non-working spouse, we'll just not totally genderize it, but that non-working spouse is still helping out with that business. And I'm like, why don't you pay them 30 or 40, 50 grand a year so that you both vest into Social Security? The minimum, so, you know, to qualify for Social Security, you have to have 10 years of earnings where you make this minimum of this, it's 4 credits a year is what you can earn. Okay. It's $1,300 a credit, or basically $5,200 a year. So the bare minimum to vest into Social Security is this $5,200. But if somebody could make 30 to 50 grand, that retirement dollar gets pretty interesting.
Yeah.
and very financially rewarding later on. But I would say that, you know, for those non-working spouses that, you know, and there's a family business especially, start paying, even if it is the $5,500 or $10,000 or $20,000. I'm going to tell you right now, on the Social Security planning, this literally could be, I've had couples where they were on track for about $52,000, $54,000, you know, $1,000 a year between the two of them at by age 70. With proper planning, we've bumped them up to like $76,000, $78,000 a year. Well, this is big money. This is big
to that,
money.
You probably have situations where maybe a now non-working spouse worked for 8 years, 15 years ago.
Yeah.
And they just need to put in a couple more years, anything, do something, get paid
those,
something.
Get those vested years.
Yeah.
Get the vested years.
Because it's a cliff. You talk about vesting, it's like cliff vesting. 10 years and you're
well,
in.
Yeah, if you're, you know, there's some really good, if you get divorced, you know, the key number is that you got to be married at least 10 years. If you're married less than that, then you just go on your own record. Number two is that, you know, there are some really weird rules if you're widowed. So I've had this more than once where a couple where the one of the individuals is a widower, but they remarried after the age of 60. Mm. So even though they're remarried, they can still pull their widower's benefits and still be married. And then that, you know, the new spouse was able to pull like spousal benefits, you know, like weird stuff. But,
wow.
You know, the widower stuff is really unique. The divorced, if you are married over 10 years and divorced, I had a woman who she was hysterical. You know, she's has her benefit. And we found out, you know, just through talking that her ex-husband had passed away about 8 months prior. And I'm like, well, you need to call about widower's benefits. So even though she's divorced, she's not remarried. When he died, she got completely eligible for widower's benefits. Well, her benefit kicked up about $300 a month. But I don't know about you, but I'll take
she's
three.
Doing a happy dance once a month.
Oh, she's so funny. Yeah, she goes, I know, because they hated each other, I guess, at the end. But she's like at the tail end of that. She goes, he was rolling over his grave every month when she got that check. And she just was so happy.
Something else that I wanted to get into real quick, too, is Social Security can be taxable if you're still working.
Absolutely.
And Ryan and I have talked before about how Social Security kind of can be taxable, but you were talking a little bit about how if you're still working.
Yeah, well, you know, with these folks that end up taking Social Security, now at any age you can have tax, you know, taxable Social Security, up to 85% of it can be included in your gross tax.
Okay.
So they're, and I don't have this committed to memory, but you know, if you're single, it's like starting at about 25,000 and above, you know, it can go from 50 to 85, and then it goes up a little bit more for married couples. But you know, the other thing is beyond the taxation is that if you pull money before your full retirement age, which it ranges from 65 to 67, I'll give you an example. I had a gentleman that I had met, and, you know, he asked me what I did, and I said, I do this Social Security stuff. And he goes, you know, he was 62, and he's like, I'm actually meeting with Social Security next week because I'm going to start taking it. And I'm like, well, you know, are you still working? And he was making about 160, 180 a year. And I'm like, nah, you're not going to want to do that. And he's just looking at me like, what you talking about? So anyway, he and his wife ended up hiring me, and he ended up canceling his meeting with Social Security, and he's going to delay it like 2 or 3 more years until he actually retires. So the financial impact from him was, you know, because he's making well at before your full retirement age, the number is a little over 16 grand.
Okay.
And over that, it's like 16,680. Every $2 he made over that takes a dollar of benefit away.
Oof.
So let's just use easy math. So if he had a $1,000 benefit, he basically was going to take it down to like a $500 benefit, you know, or what have you, because he's making over that. So if you're still working, it really behooves you to delay, not only to get the compounded increases, but the Social Security takes away the benefit. You don't lose the benefit forever, because basically they lop it back on as a little bit higher benefit later on. But yeah, people don't realize that they're get a reduced benefit and they get taxed on it. This is, you know, it's really good to coordinate with your CPA, you know, or accountant to kind of run through, because they look at non taxable interest plus your earned income plus one half of your Social Security to kind of come up with that number, which I'm not, you know, I'm a rules on the Social Security, but not a tax nerd.
Well, I would think for you, being involved with Social Security, I would think your biggest piece of advice these days, because you know, Ryan and I talk about this a lot too. People are living longer, working longer. They're healthier now at these later ages than ever. I would think your number one piece of advice is do not take it unless you absolutely have to.
Yeah, it's well, and it's interesting. The people that tend to want to take it as early as possible are the people that need to delay it as long as possible. Because if you have limited resources, so let's just say that you had a job where you made 30 or 40 grand a year, which is a good chunk of America, you know, and you weren't, you know, you raised your family and you had your bills and you really weren't able that you're not maxing out your IRA and your 401k every year. You know, basically you're living, you know, month to month or what have you. Well, every, you know, if you take it early and you take that 25 to 30% permanent reduction in benefits, and, you know, there's about a 2.5% cost of living increase that's averaged, you know, over the years. That basically you take that the one limited resource that you had and locked it in at a much lower amount for you and your family.
I know there's been some talk out there about the possibility of the age being raised, actually, when you, the earliest age you could be taking that benefit. Do you see that as something? I know around here we all agree that it's probably going to happen. Do you see that as something that's potentially going to happen?
I wouldn't doubt it. You know, I think, and just to talk about like the, you know, Social Security as a whole, there is a trust, you know, like a Social Security trust that's all invested in U.S. government bonds. And even if that trust ran out, which they're projecting in the late 2030s, about 78-79% of Social Security is funded just strictly through payroll taxes. So as long as people are working, you know, 78-79% of the Social Security need on an annual basis is covered solely on payroll tax. So, you know, what I see is happening is either A, they could raise the cap on how much income, which they just did. I've had some pretty upset people that my taxes have gone up because it just went from like 116 to 127. Number two is that they can, you know, increase the ages that for the full retirement age, probably more for the, like the millennials. And number three is that they could reduce the benefit. And so this is really, you know, the president and the Congress are going to have to get together and hash out some details. But, you know, what I've seen is one of the biggest voting populations are seniors. And I don't know about most of these guys, but I wouldn't want to mess with seniors if you've ever been to a town hall meeting.
What we've seen in the last decade, too, is that much fewer people are working. So the getting that economy cranking in the macro helps because Social Security disability, the number of people who are now receiving it has exploded.
Yeah.
In the past 5, 6, 7 years.
Well, but, you know, I don't know about you guys, but, you know, and it was like one 58-year-old celebrity after another and rock star was passing off. Yeah. So you have a good chunk of people that pay in their whole life and don't actually get money out. And then you've got people that end up living a long time. You know, the other thing is that they could raise the payroll taxes. But, you know, I see that they're going to have to act at some point, but you know, it's we'll probably see some stuff in our lifetime, but it's I don't really see it going away.
I don't either. Yeah.
Yeah. Remind people again where they can reach out to you.
Sure. It's SocialSecurityBP.com, www.SocialSecurityBP.com.
And also, too, the website, again, ssa.gov for your statements. Ryan and I talk about this all the time, how important it is for people to just be educated about their own stuff. You don't have to know how the system works, but at least know what's going on with your own personal stuff, because that right there alone can be the biggest tool you have in your toolbox. So, Faye, this has been absolutely amazing. And
I
also,
told you, Will, I wouldn't let you down. You know,
well,
she's the real deal.
I tell you all the time, I walk away from this from these shows, and I learn something every time. I mean, just learning that Social Security was something you could actually sort of work to your favor. I mean, I had no idea. Like I said, I feel like probably a large portion of people out there just assume I get to retirement age, I take my Social Security, and that's it. Mm-hmm. You know, so I mean, just that alone, just finding out that is amazing. If you'd like to find out more about Potterac Capital Advisory, they can also get you directed to Faye Sykes as well. It's 1-866-486-4947. Also on the web at Potterac.net, Facebook and SoundCloud. Just search Potterac. You'll find it there. Again, Faye, this has been really, really cool.
Thank you
so much for coming and seeing us.
I appreciate it. And thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Well, I hope you come back again. All right. We'll see you soon.
Thanks.
Ryan, see you next week.
Yep. See you next week.